from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. If you're looking for great coverage on everybody who's getting cut, she's the lady to go to. She's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. She's Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer Cleveland.com. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hey, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. You've got some information out there right now. Siaki Ika looking like the name that might make you think, huh, Browns are going to let him go, huh? Defensive tackle, third round pick last year.
Yes, I reported that earlier today, and yes, he is not long for this team. He's been cut, actually, and I actually don't even believe that he is going to come back on the practice squad. I think this is one of those situations where he may have turned out to not even be quite the scheme fit for them, and they really have a very crowded room at defensive tackle. So Andrew Berry doesn't usually like to give up on his draft picks that early, but this was one where it just seemed that it was time to part ways.
The only question I have about that, Mary Kay, I get it with scheme fit and everything else. The only question I have is this. You drafted him knowing Jim Schwartz was your defensive coordinator last year in the third round. How did that happen?
You know, sometimes it's a miss. I'll tell you what. We don't know all these numbers and statistics that are out there exactly the way that they are, but to hit on a draft pick in the third round, the chances are very low. It's something like 15%. It's really kind of ridiculous. So really, you hope for your third round picks to come in here and eventually become starters. That's the hope. But it just doesn't always work out that way. And sometimes you just don't know until you get a guy in the building, out on the grass, in your system, how it's going to go. And in this case, it just didn't work out right. And I'm sure there's probably, you know, more to the story that we don't even know about. I mean, maybe there had, you know, maybe it had something to do with conditioning or weight. I don't know, but I'm just saying that sometimes there are things that go on with the player that just make it so that they're better parting ways.
Speaking of third rounders, David Bell, if Michael Woods has been released, David Bell probably looks pretty solid to make that roster, doesn't he?
Yeah, David's making the team.
Okay.
Yes, he's definitely making the team. And, you know, and good for him. He's their Mr. Reliable. There was never really any doubt that David was not going to make the team. So he's on there, and it's unfortunate that you have to say goodbye to a Michael Woods. Now, in a perfect world, he'll be back on the practice squad. He had an excellent camp. He had an excellent game the other night in Seattle. He's done a really nice job coming back from that ruptured Achilles. And if no one picks him up, the Browns will put him back on the practice squad. And there are always injuries throughout the season. And if he ends up here on the practice squad, I predict he'll get in a game this season.
Any big names that you think could be let go by 4 o'clock?
On the Cleveland Browns?
Yes, other ones.
No, I'm going to say no on that. I don't think there are any big names. That's not really how the Browns usually operate. They don't keep a guy around this late if they're not going to have him on the team. So they usually make those decisions throughout the season. They You know, they trade guys, they cut guys, they do whatever they have to do. By the time you get to this point, it's pretty predictable what's going to happen.
All right, Mary Kay, let's talk about quarterback situation. What happens with Tyler Huntley? What happens to Dorian Thompson-Robinson?
Well, I've been writing for quite a while that Dorian Thompson-Robinson was making this football team, and that was really never an issue. He's had an excellent offseason and preseason. He's one of their developmental quarterbacks. They really like him a lot. He has improved. He's elevated his game this year, and they really never considered. They didn't try to trade him. Maybe they got a few phone calls on him. They didn't try to trade him, but he's here. And if they can move Tyler Huntley, as I've been writing, they'll do that.
I thought it was interesting. Malik Willis goes from Tennessee to Green Bay for a 7th-round pick. If you move Tyler Huntley, Mary Kay, if you get a 6th, I think maybe you should applaud Andrew Berry. Is that about right?
Yeah, 6th or 7th, I mean, is what you would probably be hoping for. But I don't know. I mean, if it hasn't happened to this point, it's probably not going to be that easy to do. And therefore, he would probably just have to be let go. But I'm sure they are working the phones.
On the offensive line, there seem to be 10 or 11 guys who you would want to keep, Mary Kay. Is there anybody here who maybe gets stashed on an injury list? We know there are issues with the tackles, but they've been activated. Is it Michael Dunn? Is it Fetty? How is that going to play out? Because it would appear if you're not going to keep 11, you're going to have to cut somebody you probably don't want to have to cut.
Well, as I have been writing, and it's in my 53-man roster analysis right now, Michael Dunn's been out with some kind of an undisclosed injury. So he's somebody that maybe could end up on an injury list or they could do something with him. They like him. They want to keep him around. He's a very good guard for them, and he's flexible, and he can do some other things. So they want Michael Dunn on the roster. I just don't know if he will be on this initial 53-man roster. And that's what we have to call it. We have to call it an initial 53. It's not the final 53 because we all know what happens over the next 3 days.
What was I going to ask you? How do you feel about Jack Conklin moving over to left tackle to start the season? Because, you know, he gave us the announcement yesterday that he passed his physical and that Jed Wills wasn't going to practice today. Do you think that that is going to become reality?
Yeah, that's another thing I've been writing for a long time, that Jack Conklin starting at left tackle is a viable option for the Cleveland Browns. He started 35 games there at Michigan State. He can do it again. He played some games there early on in his career with the Titans. He can make that switch, and I'm sure he's probably been reorienting his brain to that possibility over these last few months, knowing that it could possibly happen. So I think it's at least an option heading into the Cowboys game.
DeJuan Jones at left tackle is not an option.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I haven't heard that it's an option. I think they probably want him to continue to build on what he's been able to do over there on the right side.
What would you think of him at left tackle? Maybe not this year, Mary Kay, because if he hasn't worked there, and as he said last week, he hasn't played it since, 2 years ago at Ohio State. Do you think he has left tackle potential long-term in his career, or do you think he's a right tackle?
I think he can play left tackle. He told me that he can, and he told me that he wants to because he wants to follow also in the footsteps of Joe Thomas. And, of course, if you're going to do that, you're going to be on that side. But I don't think it's imperative that he has to do that at any point because at least the Browns feel this way, that right tackle is as important at left tackle with the way teams are playing. Two amazing rushers on either side and good rush linebackers and things like that. So I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if he remains at right tackle, but he would also love to play over on the left side.
What if Conklin goes to left tackle? What happens with Jedrick Wills?
I think a lot of it has to do with health. I don't know that Jed is as healthy as he needs to be right now, and so that could pave the way for Jack to slide on in there if he's actually further ahead of the game than Jed is right now. But I think with all three of them coming off of knee surgeries, you're going to need all three of them, and they will all get their playing time.
Mary Kay, when the other teams make cuts, what do you think the front office might be looking at to bolster this team?
I wrote about this too in my 53, and that is they will be looking for a tight end. I have them only keeping two in David Njoku and Jordan Akins. So they will be looking for a young tight end, a nice developmental player, and you know that's something to keep an eye out for.
And as the Browns are trying to trade a quarterback, perhaps for a draft choice, Mary Kay, would the Browns be willing to trade a draft choice here to another team for a player they might cut? And if so, what position do you think it might be? Would they reach for a tight end like that?
Possibly, yeah, sure. Yeah, they would possibly do that. So anything can happen. I mean, there's still a few hours left. There still are some trade talks taking place. There are, you know, players or whatever, I'm sure that the Browns are trying to see if they can get something for. And I'm sure that Andrew is working the phones, and there will probably be other tidbits of news as we go along.
All right. I know it might sound, I don't know, it might sound easy to ask this question, but I'm just going to ask anyways. Are we concerned at all about Deshaun and the soreness for week one against Dallas? Is there a concern, real concern?
No, nobody that I've talked to seems concerned about this in any way, shape, or form. Nobody seems concerned. I think that the general soreness was a euphemism for we don't want to put him out there with a fourth.
Fair enough. Fair enough. A little reality check. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's it. How about Deonte Foreman, however?
Deonte Foreman, I mean, now he is coming off of a rib injury. I don't know if he's a guy that is going to need some time on an injury list or not. Of course, if you go on, if you're one of the guys that are designated for return, you can get two of those today. You have to miss at least the first four games. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, I think there are a number of guys that they'll do some roster shell game with over the next few days, and then you could possibly see them back if it all goes the way that it's supposed to.
Okay, Mary Kay, you've got a busy day. We're going to let you run. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. General soreness. We don't want to expose him in the final preseason game, so we're going to give it a ride. Yes, no.
We're going to go up that hill, and general soreness is going to lead us to victory. It's just too funny. All right, so the truth is, truth be told, right?
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Look, here's what I think.
We're fine with it as long as he goes out and plays okay in game
if
one.
If he's okay in game one against Dallas, then you know what? We're all good with it. It doesn't matter. Nothing mattered. Seattle didn't matter. If he comes out in game one and he's throwing the ball into the ground 5 yards down the field, or he can't connect with any of his receivers, or the offense looks out of sync, everyone's going to have question marks about what they did in the preseason. So all he's got to do is play average. Jeff, he doesn't even have to play above and beyond. Play average, get a couple points on the board, and let the defense do their job. I'm not saying that's what they're paying for, but week one, if he does that, no one is going to care at all about the preseason. Zero, zilch.
I would agree with that completely. The left tackle thought is interesting. If you could move Jack Conklin, would you? At this point,
I don't think they're going to have a choice.
I don't know that they are either.
That's what it smells like, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know that they are either. If you're really comfortable with Dwan Jones at right tackle, and why wouldn't you be?
I don't know. I mean, I respect Jack Conklin. So, I mean, if there's a guy that you...
He respects you, Andy.
Well, don't you? I mean, look at his resume. Yes, he got hurt last year. That was just devastating. But you want a veteran... You want someone that knows what they're doing. Yes, I know you're moving to the other side, and every offensive lineman has said it's not the same thing. But if there's one guy other than Joel Bitonio on that offensive line that you should trust, it's Jack Conklin. I mean, I trust Bosa and Teller too, but
to make that move.
To make the move.
Yep,
that's right.
Yep, I agree with you. Yep, I agree with you. It's interesting. You heard what Mary Kay said, folks, about the wide receiver spot, about the offensive line. What do you think? 216-474-0092. David Bell on the team. Andy's like tearing up over here.
Stop it.
I'm all for that.
Stop.
I'm all for that. But now let's see some wide receiver play, folks. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the fan. if by chance the Browns are looking to add depth at wide receiver. A couple of guys out there have been let go. Allen Robinson, Isaiah Hodgins, who was pretty good in Buffalo, both by the New York Giants. And if they're looking for a running back, just in case Deontay Foreman's more dinged up than we think he might be dinged up, James Robinson, who was really good at Jacksonville as an undrafted rookie, released by the Saints, and Miles Gaskin, who we saw for the Vikings. Who was pretty, Gaskin and Baskin of Beverly Hills. Yeah. Gaskin released by the Vikings, and he was a really good college running back at Washington.
Gaskin might have been what blew out in your AC.
Oh, that's
true.
Could
have been it. Yeah. It could have had that problem. True. That might have been
that
the case.
That could be my Dr. Seuss book.
We're going to talk about the move at wide receiver in a second. Bill's in Parma. Hello, Bill.
Good to have you with us. What's up, Bill?
Good afternoon. We're getting close to.
Yes.
I read in the New York Times today that they rank Watson number 17th overall as a quarterback in strength, one spot above Baker Mayfield. In essence, basically saying you've got to have your whole offense involved, rushing, all these things, in order for him to be effective or for the team to win, and also for the defense to really have to stand out. That's concerning in the sense that it appears then, if that is even close to being correct, that the next 2 years, this year, next year, there's basically no chance that the Browns are going to even get a sniff of the Super Bowl. I think my concern is the top three quarterbacks are, of course, Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen. I don't think Allen, this is my opinion, is a top three quarterback. I think also after this year, his ranking is going to go down because his weapons are less. So I think I really kind of wonder about that. And then Mary Kay, God bless her, I love her. 15% of third rounders make it in the NFL.
That seemed really low to me, Bill.
Yeah, that would mean basically one third round draft pick out of 10 years would make it. Don't think so. I think that type of loss of a player, which we need because the Browns are very lacking in draft picks from like first round to fourth round, of course, that we are absent of them on our team. I think once Watson washes out or whatever he does, this is going to be a tough, tough organization to get us back on track again.
Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We just sit here. We're keeping our fingers crossed. Andy has a rabbit's foot attached to his car key. Just hoping that Deshaun Watson can be pretty good this year.
I'm not a big rabbit foot.
We don't even need him to. You said it earlier, Andy. You don't even need him to be excellent.
Well,
be pretty good.
I think it's more about the argument that you make: should he play preseason or not? And I'm just glad preseason's over because we're not going to really talk about that anymore, unless he fails the first couple weeks of the season, which I'm not banking on.
Will they have the same talk in New York if Aaron Rodgers goes out and looks bad in game one?
He's not Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's not.
Well, truer words were never spoken.
So it's all about the investment. I mean, the Browns put this on themselves and they made the investment to bring him in. And, you know, if you're hoping for a return on the investment. And so I think we're, not only us, but the Browns too. Yeah. It was a huge decision when they decided to bring him in here. And this is the year that decision has to pay off. You have to feel good about our defense. I don't know how you can't.
Andy, at the end of this year, you're more than halfway through that contract. Think about that. It still kind of feels like he's the new guy, right?
It's only money, too.
It's
only money.
Although it was anyhow because you had to cough up the number ones. I mean, you already traded him away. But
now it's only money because you have your number ones back. And, if for some reason it doesn't work out this year, then I just don't. Daryl and I talked about this on the Game Day podcast, too, that Daryl thought that he was – that the Browns, if – with their first-round pick next year, they're going to be looking for a left tackle. And I'm like – I don't know, man. If Deshaun doesn't work out this year and they have to go in some kind of different direction and you're worried about cap and you're worried about this and that, why wouldn't you, especially depending on where your pick is, why wouldn't you take a quarterback next year, develop, and then, you know, see what happens with Deshaun for another year? And it gives you a year to develop a first-round draft pick where you're not in a big hurry. I think that's the problem, is that we get into, you know, I'm not picking on the Haslams. I'm just, ownership wants to see guys when they get drafted in the first round. They want them on the field. Why are we paying this guy? I want to see this guy in the field. So it's going to be a different pressure if Deshaun doesn't have a good season. I really don't want to walk into the season saying, if he has a bad season, I want to be, Deshaun's going to have a good season. How good does he have to be with this defense to make it deep into the playoffs and take you to a new place?
Before we get to the wide receivers, you used a third-round draft choice on Siaki Ika, mm-hmm. and you're moving on.
I mean, he's behind Mo Hurst and Shelby Harris. So
two veterans who you just brought in as free agents, which in theory should not be as vital as a cog as a guy you drafted in the third round. Do you find that interesting at all?
You're going to keep – how many guys are you keeping on that line? So if you look at it, you're probably – I mean, Mike Hall's going on the commissioner's list. So – I mean, you're keeping Miles, you're keeping Tomlinson, you're keeping Harris, you're keeping Smith. There's four. Double O is five.
The only thing about
Mo
him.
Mo Hurst is six.
Yeah.
Alex Wright is seven.
I understand there are numbers there. My thought is this, though.
Quentin Jefferson?
If you when you draft a guy in the third round, I think you expect that guy to be a part of your team.
How long?
And to make the team. I would think you expect him to play for you for 3 to 5 years.
They
and,
did.
And play.
I mean, they pulled the trigger on this one fast.
Well, yeah.
I mean, especially when you look, okay, so but people want to contemplate whether David Bell should be here or not, too. And it sounds like they're sticking it out with David Bell, which I'm happy. I want to see this guy get the – I just don't feel like he's ever had the opportunity.
But again, you have to earn opportunities. I'm looking at his –
But he's not knocking Amari Cooper off the field. He's not knocking
I don't mean
Elijah
David.
Moore
I'm talking about Ika.
Oh, no, okay.
You went to Bell right away.
Sorry.
I'm not done on Ika here.
Okay.
When they drafted him, he came in with the idea that he's kind of like the middle-of-the-line run-stopper type guy. I'm looking at his draft profile right now, and the line says if he's able to manage his weight, Ika could become an early starter and help improve a leaky run defense. Why did you draft that kind of a defensive tackle? If Jim Schwartz is coming in as a defensive coordinator with attack-minded defensive tackles? Just something to
think
about.
That's a good question.
And it's a little off, just a little bit of a surprise. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, he might end up being a really good player to play to his strengths in the NFL, but not a good fit here. And that's my only point. Not that he didn't succeed, not that Schwartz didn't use him properly. Schwartz uses a certain kind of defensive tackle. Ika's a different kind of defensive tackle, so why'd you bring him in? That to me is a little interesting on this. Drake's in Cleveland. Hi, Drake.
Hey, Drake, what's up, man?
How you doing today?
Good.
How are you doing today, both of you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I think we need to remember as fans that when these people put their list out, that's just their opinion. It ain't no factual evidence to it. It's just how they see things. We may see things differently. Somebody else may see things differently. It's a lot of top 10 quarterbacks that haven't accomplished anything. I'm going to be calling.
Drake calls back. Drake, call us right back, man. Your phone's breaking up. Call us right back. You just got a bad
that's
line.
That's not a good one there. Yeah. Drake.
Drake always says good.
Roman's in Canton. Hi, Roman.
Hey, Roman.
Hey, fellas. What's going on?
Hey.
I just wanted to give you a call. I know we talked about yesterday. You know, it was brought up that Deshaun's, you know, motivation or, you know, one NFL exec somewhere said, you know, his motivation is in question. And that's something that we haven't really talked about, you know, on top of all the other questions and concerns from, you know, that decision to go with Deshaun. He took the Browns off of the table. He said that the Browns weren't in the running anymore. So we show up again and we say, by the way, we'll guarantee you this much money, and all of a sudden we're back in the cards. And I think that's concerning because, you know, he can count as much as he wants about, oh, you know, the best opportunity to win and to win a Super Bowl, and this is the best roster and this, that, and the other, but you didn't want to come here when the money was less. So I know that there's all sorts of you know, question marks about him.
So, Roman, hey, go back to the whole situation, what had happened, right? So you've got ownership that's saying, hey, you know, Deshaun Watson's out there. Maybe we should take a run at this thing while we have Baker Mayfield here. And they're like, okay, so they make a run for it. And then Baker gets extremely upset about the whole thing. Deshaun says no, and Baker's like, well, I don't care. Then goes to social media and says, thanks, Browns fans, appreciate you, while he's still under contract here. And then all of a sudden, they, you know, now the Browns have their back up against the wall on that thing. They're like, well, let's make Deshaun an offer he can't refuse. So he took it.
And it, and it sounds like they've, you know, kind of done the same with, or it sounds like they've done the same with Amari, you know, and maybe they've grown since then and they actually kind of sat down with Amari and talked to him and said, hey, this is why we went to, you know, make that move for Ayuk. And, you know, it's kind of a similar situation.
That's a fair point, Roman. I don't think anyone's brought that up. I think that's a fair point.
You know, so I hope that, again, I'm like everybody else. I want him to play, you know, 20 games this season. I want him to throw for 5,000 yards. I want the Browns to be successful. But, you know, something that we never really, you know, kind of brought up is the fact that he let us go. You know, he didn't want to come to Cleveland when the money wasn't right. So who knows, you know?
All right, Roman, thank you very much.
Or maybe he was smart enough to say, no, that's okay. And then why don't you give me another offer? And then he got boom.
Number to join us is 216-474-0092. We're going to talk the wide receiver situation next, because even though you've kept David Bell so far, are there guys getting cut who you might rather have? I will tell you, in my case, the answer is yes.
Mary Kay Cab at Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer with a little bit of news here. With the Browns' second-year quarterback, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, being informed Tuesday morning that he has made the Browns' 53-man roster, a league source told Cleveland.com the Browns will field calls for Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley and could trade one of them. That is according to Mary Kay Cab of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer.
Would you trade Jameis?
No.
Okay. Well, could you answer more quickly? Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think?
I think they should be taking calls on Tyler Huntley and Jameis Winston. I'm not saying they should trade them, okay, but I understand why they would do that. Now, they only have a couple hours left to make a trade, though, right?
Yeah.
So, I understand. Didn't we just go through this last year where they made Dorian Thompson-Robinson the backup, and then all of a sudden by the Ravens game, they're like, oh, what did we just do? Ouch. Even though he was fantastic in the preseason last year, and he looked good again this year in the preseason. So, I'm not trading Jameis Winston. We learned a lot last year about having to go through five quarterbacks. So that's one thing. And then I just stick it out. And Jameis Winston, what do they want for Jameis Winston? What do they want? Maybe they're just saying, knock my socks off and maybe you can have Jameis Winston, right? Someone calls and offers him a first.
They're not getting a first.
Someone says he wants a second rounder for Jameis Winston.
They're not getting a second.
I don't think so either.
Could you get a third and then end up cutting him because his name is Anthony Schwartz or Siaki Ika?
Say that again?
In other words, they haven't had a whole lot of success with third-round draft choices.
Oh, okay. No, I got it. Sorry, it took me a second. It went right over my head. You want to take a third round pick for Jameis Winston? Maybe. Would you?
I don't think you'd get a third rounder for him.
To replace him. Okay. And do you think Dorian Thompson-Robinson is ready to be the back?
Let me throw this thought at you. Is there any team in the NFL, and I'm taking a quick look, that you think Jameis would be a starting quarterback for? A starting quarterback. I'll go through divisions.
Yeah, go ahead. Hang on.
In the AFC East, Josh Allen, Tua, Aaron Rodgers, Drake May, or Jacoby. It's not happening there.
No.
In our division, could he start ahead of Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? I think probably not, because the Steelers have two guys there. AFC South, there's nobody. They're going to start Will Levis in Tennessee, and it's Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Trevor Lawrence. That's not happening. AFC West, could he start for his former coach in New Orleans, Sean Payton, while they get Bo Nix ready to go?
Maybe. Maybe.
That's one of the few opportunities. There's one other. Could the Raiders possibly like him more than Gardner Minshew?
Sure.
Who has been named the starter ahead of Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, they could like that. I could see that happening.
Do you think that could be?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about somebody you've got to put yourself in a position where you have a older quarterback where you think that it's an upgrade to bring in Jameis Winston. But you've already had a chance to go out and get him before. Why didn't you do it before?
Yeah. Denver to me, Bo Nix is obviously their heir apparent to whatever they're going to do there. He's going to be the guy. So Jameis will just be a stopgap. The Raiders, maybe there's a possibility there. NFC East, could the Giants like him more than Daniel Jones?
No.
Dano? Maybe, huh?
I haven't invested a whole lot in Daniel Jones, but as somebody who just sits and watches football, I would take him over Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Would they, though, with the Giants?
I don't know. They owe Daniel Jones a lot of money this year and this year only.
Yeah.
This year only. I think it's $40 million for this coming season, and then they can get out from under it. Nobody else in that division, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels. NFC North, would the Vikings like him more than Sam Darnold? I don't know about that, and I say that only because they've got J.J. McCarthy sitting there for next year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that they'd make a move to bring in Jameis, who they might consider a lot like Sam Darnold. NFC South, he's not going to go back to New Orleans.
No.
I wouldn't think, and he's not going back to Tampa. Baker's there. In the NFC West, could the Seahawks like him more than Geno Smith?
They like Geno Smith way too much.
I know.
I don't think they would either. And they brought in Sam Howell to challenge Geno. So maybe two teams in the league might be interested in Jameis as a starting quarterback. The Giants and the Raiders. Maybe Denver short term. But I could see him going to Denver as a backup to Bo Nix.
It's funny that you would put Denver in there, but you wouldn't put Minnesota in there.
I wouldn't.
I'd rather have Jameis over Sam Darnold. If I'm trying to win this year.
But I don't know that they are. I don't know that they are. And if you have Sam Darnold, and I know Jameis has a better track record, but Darnold has maybe some untapped potential that they think that they can bust loose in Minnesota. And if they don't, so what? Because you have J.J. McCarthy next year. I could see Jameis as a backup in Denver, because their backups right now are Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson. And if you're Sean Payton and you want Bo Nix to come along, and you thought Jameis was a good teammate in New Orleans, even though you didn't play him, at least you played him for a little while, maybe they would like him as a backup quarterback.
What if you're New England and you're not happy with Jacoby Brissett and you just
– How could you not be happy with Jacoby?
Well, what if you think Drake May's not ready?
Okay, but then you just play Jacoby.
I'll give you another fun one.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Easton Stick backing up a guy with plantar fasciitis?
It's funny you say that, because I was just going to teams where I think he could be a backup, and the Chargers are on that list. Another team that's on that list?
Not to mention Jim Harbaugh plus Jameis Winston. That could be a good time.
Why are we trading him?
A lot of fun.
I mean, why are we trading him somewhere else to be a backup unless someone's going to give us an outrageous draft pick?
Well, and that might be the case.
I'm just an agent of chaos,
that's
Andy.
That's not happening. Yeah, you are.
I'm an agent of chaos on some of this.
Or maybe you trade player for player.
I did see you talking to your phone or to your shoe.
I have six places that could use a backup quarterback upgrade.
You weren't supposed to see that. Hey, look at this pen for a little bit.
You ready?
Oh, cool.
six places that could use a backup quarterback upgrade. You ready?
Yeah, go.
Miami has Skylar Thompson backing up Tua right now. Jameis is better. You'd rather have Jameis there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but why? Why are we giving up our backup so we can help out somebody else be a backup?
Because
unless they're giving
me. You're so convinced that DTR is ready to go, and if not, you have Tyler Huntley. That's
what
why.
Are you giving me? You bet. Yeah, I want.
I don't know. Maybe it's a player for player trade. Maybe you get a good wide receiver. Add him to that mix. Maybe you get a good offensive lineman.
I want a fourth rounder or better right now. Okay. I just went through a season last year where my fan base is ready to bring Joe Flacco back before the season even starts. I went through five quarterbacks last year.
I got another one.
I can
one.
Be confident in Jameis Winston staying here as the backup quarterback. Unless you're giving me a first, second, third, or fourth rounder, this is not happening.
Maybe. Hang on. Other teams that could use a backup upgrade. Baltimore has Josh Johnson.
I'm not trading to Baltimore.
Neither am I. The LAC, usually the Los Angeles Clippers, but the Los Angeles Chargers now have the well-traveled Josh Johnson backing up Lamar.
He's a good singer, too.
Josh Johnson in Baltimore. Easton Stick with the Chargers. Clearly, that'd be an upgrade. And Justin Herbert is having some plantar fasciitis stuff. If you're Philadelphia and you think you're going to the Super Bowl, you okay with Kenny Pickett? I think Jameis would be a huge upgrade for them behind Jalen Hurts.
What are you giving me? You better give me top four because I'm not moving.
I'm just telling you opportunities
that
there.
You're saying.
I'm not telling you what I'm going to give you. I'm just giving you teams that might be in the market.
Hang on, call me. Who is this?
If you're
what?
If you're Chicago.
Oh, I see. You're trying to.
If you're Chicago and you just brought in number one overall pick Caleb Williams and your backup is Tyson Bagent, who did a really nice job last year filling in, but he's a second-year guy, D2 player, did a really nice job. You want him in Caleb Williams' ear, or do you want a great teammate like Jameis Winston in his ear? Hey, I was the number one overall pick. I know what you're going through. I am the biggest cheerleader you're going to have.
Please tell me you have something. You have breaking news.
Okay. I've got the more fun one.
Okay,
in Arizona, you could put him behind Kyler Murray.
No, see, these aren't fun.
Clayton Tune and Desmond Ridder are there
now. These aren't fun. How do you, Jeff, you play a boatload of fantasy football. What do you always do in a fantasy football trade?
I always target
the guy who's irrational. You target the guy who you know you're smarter than and that you could dominate in any kind of a trade.
That's not what I do in my leagues, Dan. I have nothing but the utmost of respect for the competitors that I have in my two fantasy football
leagues.
That
is totally not what you were telling us in the break. You said you had a bunch of
Jeff
dopes.
In Cleveland, I pull for you every week over Jeff.
Crushing you. Like he says, oh, I love this league because I can always win because I'm in with a bunch of dopes.
I never say that, fellas.
If you're the Browns, look, sure. I think they should keep Jameis Winston, okay? I think we all learned a very, very valuable lesson last year.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
But if you want something irrational.
I want irrational.
I'm calling the Carolina Panthers and I'm talking to David Tepper and I'm going, all right, you've got Bryce Young. You're all in on the kid.
You have
you
Andy
hope
Dalton.
That he takes off.
You have Andy Dalton.
Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton?
I'd rather have.
Yes.
Andy Dalton.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, see, I think I would take Jameis.
What are you giving me? You guys are sitting here with this hypothetical
garbage. We're looking for a landing spot.
Because
I don't see
and then
one.
We'll work
the
out the other stuff.
The reason that I bring up the Panthers for that is exactly what you just brought up. If there's any team that's going to make an offer to you that's going to be absurd, like one of those things where they're like, I'll give you a second, I'll give you a third, because it's David Tepper, and he's just mad for winning, we'll put it that way, and does irrational things that make no sense whatsoever.
And
that's the guy I want to trade with.
If he has a great relationship, if Bryce Young has a great relationship with Andy Dalton, I leave Dalton. If they don't have a great relationship, and I don't know why they wouldn't, Jameis could make sense. Jameis is supposedly a phenomenal teammate, folks.
They have all their picks.
Keep that in mind as the day progresses.
Find the irrational guy. That's who you want to talk to.
Wow.
I do every day. I look at the two of you, and There I am.
They have their first, the Rams second.
Funny, the feeling
third,
is mutual.
Fourth or fifth.
Mike Petriello from MLB.com, StatCast, talking Guardians with a one-game lead next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.